Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to take a brief look at our gospel lesson for this morning, but I'm going to start talking about it a few verses before the actual text begins in your bulletins. It says that Jesus departed from Judea and he went into Galilee. He had been conducting a ministry down in the south in Judea, and he left there and went up into Galilee. And he said, and it goes on to say in verse 44, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." All right. Now, in this verse, we see the kind of the hint or the mention of a problem. And the problem is that Jesus is going to Galilee, but that he realizes that hometown boys never go over that well when they make it good in the world. Because there's always people who know you when you were a kid. All right? And so a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So Jesus is expecting to encounter unbelief in Galilee when he goes there. And it's important to know that to understand the gospel lesson. Verse 45 says, "When he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." All right? So many people from Galilee had been at the feast of the Passover, and they had witnessed miracles that Jesus had done in Jerusalem and in Judea. And so they received Jesus not as their Savior and Messiah, not as the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. They received him as a miracle worker and a wonder worker. And as good as that is, it's close, but no cigar. All right? There are things that look like faith, but they aren't faith. All right? And so they welcome Jesus, expecting him to do all kinds of signs and wonders among them. But they did not have faith in him or his word. So then our gospel lesson comes in. And it says that Jesus came to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So Jesus comes to the site of his previous miracle in Galilee, where he changed the water into wine. And this nobleman shows up from Capernaum. He has walked all the way from Capernaum uphill to Cana, and he has done so because he heard that Jesus had come into Galilee, and he requested, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now notice, this man has heard about Jesus and his teachings and his miracles, and this hearing has given birth to a kind of faith in his heart. He believes that Jesus is able to heal his son. And he therefore takes an arduous journey to get to Jesus. And then he requests, and it's important that you notice this, he requests that Jesus come down and heal his son. That is, he believes that Jesus can do it, but he believes that somehow Jesus has to go with him and go to the boy's bedside and do whatever it is that Jesus does in order for his son to recover. So this man has faith. It's a kind of a faith, but it is a very weak and imperfect faith. And Jesus here desires not only to grant him his request, but also to turn his weak and imperfect faith into a strong faith. And this is what Jesus wants to do with you and with me. Jesus wants us to ever be moving from weak faith to stronger faith, from false faith to true faith, from self-delusion to the comfort of the gospel. Now, what do I mean by that? Some people have a false faith. The Galileans had a false faith. They thought that Jesus was a miracle worker, that he was a wonder worker. And that's all they thought about him. And they were excited about him because it was going to be very entertaining to see what he would do. That was a kind of a faith. But it was a false faith. Today in our modern world, we have lots of people who profess to be Christians because their name is on a membership roster of a church, but they hardly have any real faith in Jesus. They have a false faith that just because they are connected in an outward way to a church, that somehow or other that covers them against misfortune and it covers them against eternal damnation. So they have a kind of a faith, but it is a false faith. And then we have people who delude themselves. They consider themselves to be Christians. They want to be numbered among the saints of God. But in disobedience to the word of God, they are living in sin, and true faith and the Holy Spirit have departed from them, and they are living in open sin and deceiving themselves into thinking that because they go to church, because they subscribe to the Christian faith in some way, that somehow or other, despite their sinful wickedness, they are still covered as far as judgment day is concerned. And they have a self-delusion and not a true faith. Because you see, faith and mortal sin cannot coexist. You get into mortal sin, faith disappears, and it is replaced by a counterfeit kind of sham faith. All right? So there are people who profess to have faith. They profess to trust in God, but by their sinful life, they deny everything about Christ and God and the grace of God and salvation, and they are self-deceived. And then there are people, so we've got people who have a false faith, people who have a self-delusion instead of faith, and then we have people who are genuine Christians whose faith is weak and needs to be strengthened. In every case, Jesus, in his mercy, He wants to replace false faith in some people with true faith. He wants people who are self-deluded, living in sin, He wants them to realize the truth of their situation, to repent and believe the gospel, and no longer be deluded and fooled by their fake faith, but to have true and sincere faith. And He wants us, who always need more faith, to trust in Him so that we go from weak faith to strong faith. All right? And that's what this text is really about. So, the first thing that Jesus does when this nobleman says, "Come down and heal my son, for he is at the point of death," Jesus says, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." Now, that seems rather harsh to a person who has come and says, "My little boy is dying. Please come with me and heal him. He's at the point of death." It seems rather harsh of Jesus to say such a thing as this. But Jesus knows what's in this man's heart, and He has to tell him this in order that the man may move from a false faith in Jesus as a wonder worker to faith in Jesus Himself and His Word. So the first thing that Jesus does is He applies the law of God that this man may understand his true spiritual condition, and that he may repent of it and believe truly in Jesus. And we see that, you know, this story has a parallel with the woman, you know, the Canaanite woman, who she comes to Jesus because her daughter is demon-possessed, and she begs Him and He ignores her, and she begs Him some more, and He says, "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it's not right to cast the children's bread to the dogs." Jesus is really saying things to this woman that would certainly discourage me. All right? But she throws herself on His mercy, just as this man does. All right? Jesus rebukes his false faith. And the man, instead of casting his face down and walking away disappointed, this man, he clings to Jesus through the midst of the rebuke, believing that behind every no from God, there is a greater yes. Behind the law of God, there is the gospel of God, which is greater. And so he says, "Sir, come down ere my child die." And just a little note here. The original Greek of verse 49, the nobleman said to him, "Lord, Kyrie, Lord, come down ere my child die." So, just so you know that, the man calls Jesus his Lord and says, "Come down ere my child die." Now, two things that you notice. He still got this idea in his head that Jesus actually has to go there in order to perform the miracle. But he has fought his way through the law's condemnation and has cast himself on the mercy of Jesus. And so Jesus responds to him by saying this. Now listen, watch this. "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Now this is the word of God, because it comes from the mouth of Jesus. And Jesus says to the man, all that is necessary for the healing of the son and for the strengthening of the faith of the man. Jesus gives him an assurance in the gospel. He says, go ahead on home. Your son is alive. Right? Your son liveth. Right? That's all that was necessary. You know, we think, you know, if we had written the Bible, you know, we'd have added a little more detail here, you know, given the reader a little bit more to chew on. But that's not the way of God. Jesus says, go thy way, thy son liveth. Just like he says to us in the absolution, thy sins be forgiven thee. And we go, that's it? That's it? You mean the pastor gets up there and says, I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's it? Yeah! Because that's the word of the living God, the word of grace, the word of God's goodness. And so, Jesus says, go thy way, thy son liveth. And notice, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. All right? The man heard this gospel proclamation, as brief as it was. It was a message to this man's heart. And the man believed it, and without even knowing it yet, he received his answer, and he believed that the answer was given even though he does not yet see it. He believed the word, and he went his way. He went home not as a worried father who was unsure what he was going to find at home, but he went home as a believing Christian who has received the assurance of the word of God that all is well. And therefore his heart was at peace. That's what the gospel does to us. You want to be stronger in your faith? You want to overcome the weakness of your faith? Listen to the word of God and let it sink into your ears. The word of the gospel will strengthen your faith. Now, as it often happens in our lives, God speaks his word to us, and then he allows us to experience tribulation. You know, you can't actually think that this man had an easy journey home. All right? His faith was being tested at every step. He had faith in the Lord. His heart was glad. But the old Adam in him was wrestling with this stuff. And so it is with us. God often allows us to undergo tribulations, and the tribulations, they speak to us and they say, God doesn't really care about you. Look what's going on in your life. And so it is here that this man's journey home was not a comfortable journey home. It was not an easy journey, just like our life in this world, while we are waiting for God's deliverance, is not easy. But his deliverance has been proclaimed to us, and it surely will come. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth, thy son liveth. And he said, what time did he get better? What time was it when he got better? And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. So here the man received confirmation of his faith. He received the assurance of faith. That is, the answer to his prayers. It came the day before, but he didn't yet know it or realize it. And so we have in our text today this wonderful assurance that the man says, "What time did my son get better?" And they said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." And when that word was given, it said, "And he himself believed, and his whole household." That is, that family came to saving faith in Christ because they saw the word of the gospel produce the fruit that the gospel promised. And so it is, you and I are invited. All he had was the word. And that's really all we have. We have the word which comes to us in the scripture, in preaching, and in the sacraments. All right? All we have is the word. But the word is enough. Take that word and believe it, and you go from strength to strength. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.